a lot more difficult to stay, to stay up on everything. And I have to take a lot more time for myself than I previously had to. But in that same regard, like, there are some people who just can't respect that.
Some people, there's a lot of people. But what you have to, what you got to get your head around, Sweetness, is that it's not about them. It's how you receive it and how you internalize it. Because there's always going to be some outside influences. There's always going to be that noise. There's always going to be that negativity. And so, you know, you can't get down on society. And this is totally not the Connor that I've known, uplifting, motivating, and, you know, a hard charger, a person that has had insight, but at the same time has been blinded. And I don't know where that's coming from. I don't like to hear you being a little crunchy and disgruntled.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to make things go, honestly. I mean, I guess that's the thing that I've sort of come to notice is, you know, I'm running into a lot more different challenges than I have at any point in my life. I mean, first, going from part-time school to full-time school while still managing to grow a career for myself. And now having that full-time load switch to a format that I can barely use.
Mm-hmm.
And just all those struggles there. Like, I'm gonna make it go, but it's like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, when I talk about people who can't respect that I need to do things for me, there are people who are trying to make me out to look like a jerk because I am not as 100% wide open as I used to be. Now I'm trying to put so much energy into myself. When I'm not doing school, I'm playing music, writing poetry, or sleeping.
Okay, but you're doing all these wonderful things, okay? But you're shutting down on mankind, and mankind is where the inspiration comes from, okay? That's where you have to do the deep dive, because you have these gifts so that you can intertwine them and weave them into the landscape of your life. And there are going to be challenges, you know? Life is not easy. If it was easy, we would just, you know, all be hunky-dory. But it's not going down that way.
No.
And you, you know, you are a young man that has overcome losing your sight. For God's sake, you can skateboard. And you can play music. And you are an actor. And you are a teacher. And you are a student. And you are a love. And you are a humanitarian. Please do not let anybody or anything cloud your vision, your judgment, your reason for being who you are. And you can sit in that space and be comfortable and not have to be bothered with nobody. That's absolutely your right. But don't let it harden your heart. You hear me? Because this is not the person that I know.
Yeah.
So
I'm working myself out of a funk.
Well, yeah, we all get funky. Take a shower and put on some deodorant shit.
Okay. All right. That was beautiful.
I love you. So welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Today we have Connor Head, okay? Here on the edge with us. And let me tell you something about Connor. Me and him just had a few minutes to talk before we got started with this interview. And he's in a funky place. I told him to take a shower and put some deodorant on. But you know what? We all get there. And he is one of the most inspirational people that I know. So for him to be in a quandary is, you know, something that we need to talk about, because he's got a lot going on. Now, Brains, you don't know this, but Connor is blind. And Connor lost his sight over a progressive period of time. And he'll tell us a little bit about that. But he sees life so clearly. So now that there is a cloud and, you know, some gloom over it, I want to peel back the layers and find out what the hell is going on. So please help me welcome him to the show. Connor Head. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing different. It's a beautiful day, so, you know, there's that.
Absolutely.
I'm different. I usually am 1,000% full send, feeling amazing. And today, or even over the last few weeks, it's just been different.
So tell me what's different. What does that big D stand for, baby?
I don't know. I mean, big D.
Oh, yeah.
I'll grow up someday. Not likely. But what I will say is that, honestly, I think it's just adjusting. We're all adjusting to so many different things at once. And I guess one thing I'd like to say right off the bat is, while I do feel strange now, I also am a hopeful, hopeless, however you want to describe it, optimist. And I'm pretty much determined that how I'm feeling right now is not how I'm going to feel forever.
Well, let's go into a little talk therapy and tell me what is going on. First, introduce yourself to my brains. Tell them a little bit about you where you are, and then we'll progress from there.
Okay, well, I guess for starters, I am currently 20-something. I am a full-time student at Cal State Northridge, and I used to live over there, but now I'm back with my parents for the time that we're all stuck with each other. And I wouldn't even say stuck. I don't know. I love my family, so I don't feel stuck. You know, some people might, but yeah, I'm full-time student, majoring in communication and performance. I'm a musician, an actor, skateboarder. What else do I do? I do a lot of things. I love people, and I love helping people in any way that I can. I used to teach. Now I do a lot of charity work. I want to do more of it. I don't do enough. And I exist. I exist to coexist with everyone around me. And I think that's the only way I can sum myself up.
Now, for people that don't know, I don't want to reemphasize this, but I want them to understand the totality of who you are and all of the great things that you do, and you overcome some challenges. Tell my brains a little bit about how you lost your sight.
Well, so the condition that I have is Leber's congenital amaurosis, or LCA. And basically, it's the weird toss-up genetic mutation of eye conditions. Some people aren't affected by it at all. Some people are born with no sight. Some people in my situation are born with a good amount of sight, and then they lose it as time goes on. And honestly, I think that was one of the key contributors to my depression that lasted for many, many years, up until, I want to say, a couple of years ago, when I really had a moment. I did some soul searching and found out exactly what I needed to do to break through that. So I think coming to terms with both myself losing my sight and what I was going to do about it, but also just emotionally, why I was depressed and what was really messing with me, I think I came out the other side okay enough. I could be okayer, but I'm okay enough.
You are enough. You're over enough. Okay, so now you said that you overcame the depression. Well, when we got on this call, you said you back in that funk. What happened?
Honestly, I think I'm just getting overwhelmed. I mean, this is my second semester of full-time university load, and that's been hard enough of a transition. I've been making it go, and honestly, I think the one thing that's helping me push forward is that I love every minute of it. It's my dream school, doing my dream thing, and it's the best experience ever. But it's still a lot of work, a lot more than I've ever been used to in my life. Mm-hmm. So to take all of that, and then in your second semester, throw you into a completely new format that you're not at all used to, it's been a challenge. And I don't feel like I'm coping with the challenge incredibly well. But at the same time, I'm again, hopelessly optimistic. I pretty much decided for myself that come hell or high water, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to feel good about it.
You are. And you know, to whom much is given, much is required, Coco. So what you need to understand is that this is just the beginning. You are in your 20s. You haven't begun to see the challenges. And you have no idea of what everyone else is going through. You know, sometimes being in a dark place is a safe place. Sometimes being in a dark place is a selfish place. And it's not selfish in a negative way, but it is all about self. It's all about self-care. You know, it's about that emotional intelligence. And as long as you can recognize it, that's half the battle. You know, there's so many people that get in that space that don't even know that they're there, that don't identify with it, that don't want to recognize it, don't want to deal with it, don't want to overcome. They want to drug it. They want to drink it. They want to shoot it. They want to beat somebody up, you know. So sit in that place and try to figure out what is the lesson that you need to learn right now outside of your schoolwork. Now, you say that you're in a different format. With you being visually challenged, I know that there are special, I don't know, is there special equipment that you use, special programs that you use for your classes? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, that right there is where a lot of the challenge lies, because I already do use a lot of technology. I am a lot better with computers and technology than I ever admit.
You're doing real good with that screen right now, because you keep bopping it all over the place.
you know what? I'm trying to... I am not good at holding a phone on myself.
I am not cutting you no slack, because you know you my love. You are my Superman, okay? You got an S on your chest, so don't try to go there with me, because I'm not parking the car there. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Okay, so now finish telling me about these little challenges, these little obstacles you got going on in school.
Yeah, well, I love you a lot.
I love you too.
I will say that one of the biggest challenges is just in the fact that everything is online now, because we've gone from having to meet in class, meet in person, and discuss things that we read in our textbooks and share our input, hold debates, performances, spoken word, everything, all these random things that all contribute to a greater something. But now it's watered down. Everything's online. It's all Canvas. You read something, you write a response to it, and you post it on a web page, and it's not difficult, but the sheer amount of things that come at you all at once without having the almost grace period of a discussion, of getting some real input, it seems like you're alone with your own thoughts, and you have less opportunity to absorb the thoughts of those around you, which for me is the main zest for all of the classes that I take.
Okay, so such is life. Ebbs and flows, baby. And everything is not going to be laid out for you all fluffy. And we know what fluffy is, okay? Okay, but what I want you to embrace, again, is that you recognize it. And this is a part of life's challenges. And we're all going through this. This corona is a hot fucking mess. Yes, I cussed, brains. It's out of control. And I was just looking at the news reports, and there is no end in sight. Okay, so what do we do? Do we sit and submerge ourselves and put our head in the sand? Okay, you can get angry, but you got to come up out of that anger. You know, you can be frustrated. You're not the only one frustrated. Imagine the teachers and the instructors and the professors that have created this wonderful curriculum and wanted to deliver it to you and get your response and see that aha moment and see that spark and hear you act and hear you sing. You know, there's a lot of people that are experiencing losses here outside of you. So think about them sometimes when you are in this place of adjustment. It's not going to always be this way. You know, I know that because it being online really takes a lot of it away from you. Now, were your classes in Braille? Did you use Braille?
I did, but I use digital Braille. I have a little tablet that basically functions like any other Android tablet, but instead of a screen, well, it has a screen, but it also has a Braille display that basically translates anything that I am emailed by my professors, anything I access online, all that into Braille. So I still use that now, and it helps a lot, like a lot.
And you're so extroverted. You love people. I think that's a part of the challenge too, is that you feed off on that. You get off on that, being around people, absorbing their energy, hearing their sound, feeling their touch. You know, you've been a teacher for, what is that? The junior Foundation for the Blind?
We worked with them for a while. It's the Academy of Music for the Blind, if I can words.
Right. And you've written plays. You've been an actor, you know, many times. So I think it's the human interaction that you are missing. And you say, oh, well, I'm back at home with my parents. Do you know how many people wish that they could get back home with their parents? I wish my mother wasn't living with me. I wish I was living with her. On second thought, no. Maybe it's better this way that she's living with me. But it's a lot. It's a lot. So tell me some good things, though. Tell me something good.
Oh, I've actually got a lot good going on.
All right, well, give me some good.
And I think that's why, like I said, I'm not about to stay in this funk forever. I refuse to get beaten down by it. And I've been playing a lot of guitar. I think I've passed over a plateau. I think for the past few years, musically, I've just been sitting. And it wasn't a bad thing. I just sort of shelved guitar playing for a bit, and I decided music will hit me hard when it's ready for me and I'm ready for it. And I feel like now's the time. I've been playing a lot and really noticed a new spark. I think I've really passed that flat point. I'm back to climbing again. And with that same sort of thing, I've been writing lyrics again, writing poetry, freestyling poetry. I've been working on just expressing myself in ways I've never thought possible. I think even though this whole situation has its negatives, I think it also has some positives, because now I've been able to sit back, listen to myself, and hear what I have to tell me and how I can tell it to anyone else.
Exactly. And I was telling that to the other guest that I had the other day, Herbert Sequenza. Awesome. He created Culture Class, which is a playwriting and theatrical group based out of San Francisco originally. And now he's working here in San Diego, the San Diego Repertory Theater, Game Talk Theater. And we had the same conversation about, I really believe out of all this, something beautiful, even a new species of human being, is going to evolve from this. But if we do not sit and listen in silence, we're not going to hear what we've been told, because we always jawjacking, we're always running our mouth, always talking over people and not listening. And you have to connect with your heart center. You have to get deep into that meditation. You've got to feel the feels. And you know what that's all about. That's the only way that you're going to get through this. Any of us are going to get through this. Believe me. I was talking to Mama, you know, Mama 90. She asked me every day, so is it over yet? I said, no, but she's in a bubble. She's here. She just got her nails done. She just, you know, had a fabulous lunch. Anything that she wants, she has no idea of what's going on outside this door here and how critical it is and how people's lives are being changed, forever changed. And what about the people that are not able to be with their loved ones and say goodbye? What about the people that are dying? What about the people that have lost their jobs? You know, it could always be worse. It could always be worse. So we don't even want to sit in that space, but you can't recognize what's good until you know what tastes bad, right?
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
So what is your goal, Connor? What are you going to school for, and what are you going to pour into the world of value outside of poetry and music?
Well, I've got two goals. One, I call it long-term, and one super long-term. My long-term goal is I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to travel around and I want to talk to kids about anything, because I feel like there's a lot of kids out there nowadays, especially kids with disabilities, victims of bullying, kids with anxiety, kids who are struggling with depression, who aren't being told anything from a perspective of understanding. They're being told by these people from a higher position who have never struggled, or maybe their struggles just don't sync up right, about all of these things that honestly may not even be, they may be what they want to hear, but it's not what they need to hear. And I think that I could really make someone's life different in the way that I wish someone did for me at the time. And so that's my long-term goal. Now, my super long-term goal is to have a talk show, whether it be on TV, radio, or wherever, sort of doing the same thing, but from a more social commentary perspective. Like I want to be the next Jay Leno if he had like a cross baby with Chris Hardwick and Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot going on. That's a big dream.
And it is a big dream, and I got this.
And you got it, and you can have it. You've overcome everything else. I don't see why you can't do that. So on this talk show, what would be the premise of your show?
I think the premise would be almost like, I don't know how to describe it, but like current events, you know, talking about things that are going on in entertainment, in arts, in something, some kind of community outreach, some kind of current events. So you get a little bit of news with your coffee.
Right.
But then I really want to talk to and have different guests on every show, every episode. Could be a weekly, could be bi-weekly, could be daily, it could be whatever. But I want to have guests on that have something to say, from voices that you may not have heard before, people that you had no idea existed, stories that you had no idea were being told. I really want to give everyone a voice who previously didn't think they had a voice. People think that you have to be famous or successful to get on talk shows, and I just want to show the world the hidden gems, the people that they might want to be friends with that they would have never been friends with before.
Well, hell, that's why you're on the edge with April Mahoney, because that's exactly what I did. Someone gave me an opportunity to co-host with them on their syndicated radio show, and I heard my voice, and I knew I had arrived. So it's not impossible. And my show was going through the roof, and I do that. I look to give a voice to the voiceless. I have a variety show of arts, entertainment, and music, and science, and love, and crime, and jazz, all of that kind of stuff. So you can have it, and you can have it right now. All you need to do is do what you're doing, is put that camera in front of your face and smile and interview people, because I like that. I like the unsung hero. I get so sick of this television, you know, that they're creating. Because sensationalism is what sells, not normalcy, not just you and I having a conversation. Nobody wants to give us a dime to hear what we have to say. But what we have to say will resonate and will echo in someone's ear, because there's a lot of people out there that need to hear it, want to hear it, and they want it simplistic. But you have an alter ego too. So don't try to make it seem like you just all that. You have a unusual hobby of dressing up in these suits. Good Lord, can you tell me what that is all about?
Oh yeah, most definitely. So I am a furry, and there's a lot on the internet about the furry fandom that is or isn't true. And a lot of people just read a single article from a single Google search and call themselves experts. But I think there's a beauty to the furry fandom. So I guess to start it out, most people in the fandom have something called a persona, which obviously, you know, the cross between the words furry and persona. And some people have more than one. I myself have more than one. And you sort of get to show the world a different piece of you. It's almost like cosplaying, but instead of cosplaying an existing character from an existing intellectual property, you're your own character from your own universe who can do anything they want. And that's not even the end of it. Some people dress up. Some people are artists. They have never worn a fursuit in their life and they don't really want to. They just want to draw their persona, their character, or animate them. There's a lot of creators out there that have gone so far as to make video games revolving around their personas. Me, I like to dress up because there's nothing more fun than getting out there, becoming someone different, and getting up in people's business. It's just, it's the actor in me. What can I say?
Well, and it's hot as hell. I saw the costume. So, you know, it takes a lot of tolerance to put up with that. But my daughter, growing up, was really into cosplay. You know Chanel. She was really into cosplay, and she was into anime. And I was scared to death. I thought my child was into some sexual occult. It was weird. Really, I didn't understand it at all. And I would come home, and one day I saw her with ears and tail about to go out the house. And I said, what the hell you think you're going with ears and tails on? I said, you are not an animal. Yes, I am. I have transformed myself. Oh, she got indignant. But the more that I let her creativity side come out and express that, we did have to put some boundaries now. You know, we wasn't going to be going out to dinner with ears and tails. But the more we created that, and the more I opened myself up to really understanding that this was really her persona. This is who she felt comfortable being at that particular time. It has morphed into one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. She is a brilliant costume designer. She's a brilliant makeup artist. She is a free spirit. She's so fun and loving. And instead of parents trying to suppress their children, now we got to have a little bit of control. Yes, I use the C word, control, because you're in my house and I'm paying the bills. I'm going to have some control. But for the most part, I'm going to let you be who you are, and I'm going to sit back and watch that evolve. Because once you hit that front door, believe me, you belong to the world. You no longer belong to your parents. And so the influence that you have is based upon, you know, some of the guidelines and structures that your parents have instilled in you. So what did your parents think about you being a furry?
Honestly, my parents seem to be pretty... It started out as almost indifferent to the whole thing. Like, you do what you do. But I really started to find some support in them. My mother thinks it's absolutely adorable, especially when she sees, like, some of the videos I post with my friends or seeing some of the stuff from conventions. My dad seems to like the attention to detail of it all, because most of these fursuits are a labor of love, just like with cosplays. Like, they are custom, they are handmade, they are very time consuming if you make one yourself, and expensive if you want to pay someone else to make something.
Absolutely. If they commission it.
Yeah, but that's, I think, well, look, what you said earlier really struck a chord with me. There's a beauty to it, because you can be anything you want at any time you want. And I guess the world is a lot more liberating than just the set of standards and rules that we think we have to govern ourselves by all the time. We can break past standards, rules, norms, molds. We can be anything we want, anytime we want.
And that means that we can be happy and we cannot be depressed. Do you think that that is a choice when people fall into that dark space? I know that's a tough question.
I think you fall in there, but I think it's a choice whether you stay in there. I mean, like I said earlier, from the moment I find myself in a funk, I can already tell you, may not know how, but I'm going to find my way out. And I feel like some people, either they don't know how to find the way out, or they don't know what the way out looks like. Or they don't want to look for a way out. There's all kinds, I don't think it's a choice to fall into a depression, because I think we all do. But I think it's a choice whether you stay there or how you stay there.
Right. And or even realizing that you're there. Okay. So now everything's fine. People are going to go back into that place. They weave in and out of it. Unfortunately, I know people that, you know, find almost a sense of comfort because there's no accountability. They find it as a place to, for the lack of a better term, have an excuse to hide. That I'm in this place, I don't have to deal with this, I choose not to, I don't want to. How do you fight beyond that, Coco? How do you get out of there? How do you get that out of your head?
That's a tough one. That's honestly a really tough one, because I guess it's easy. It's really easy to sit there and want to feel bad, to want to have something you can, I would almost go as far as to say scapegoat out, to have something that you can say, this is what's messing with me, and this is how it's going to be forever. But it's not fun. I honestly, even if life is a constant struggle, I have a lot more fun fighting and struggling against it than sitting back and letting it bulldoze me over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so whatever that means is that if that's talk therapy, if that's meditation, have you ever tried tapping? Have you ever done any EFT tapping?
Say what now?
Have you ever tried EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping?
No. What? What is this?
I'm going to turn you on to this. It's pressure points that you put on, you know, that you tap on your face and sometimes your hands, but I'll turn you on to it. It is really an amazing tool that some of my former guests on the show have specialized in, and it's a way of really calming yourself and bringing yourself back to center. So, you know, that's one thing. Diet, exercise, you know, a great partner, journaling, poetry, music. There are doorways, there are outlets. We just have to reach for them. Sometimes, you know, it's a struggle, but the struggle is more so staying in that place than really trying to reach and climb that ladder to get out. So tell me some great people that you admire. Tell me about some people that, you know, that you look up to, that inspire you, that encourage you.
Honestly, there's a lot. I don't know where to begin. There's a lot of people I really look up to.
And I ask you that when I say you look up to them, what is it that you see in another individual that inspires you, that makes you feel good, that makes you want to emulate that personality or that persona or that look?
I think there's so many. Okay, it goes across a bunch of different fronts. I'm trying to think where to start. I think one person I really look up to and I really admire is Federico Hernandez. He's a former student at the academy right alongside me, and I've recently been in touch with him, and I've been looking at his posts on Facebook. He's writing a lot of poetry now, and he posts it to Facebook. But what I really admire about him is that he is the bulldozer, the forklift, the tank, the big heavy truck. He does not stop. He's been in the hospital many times, sometimes fighting for his life. He's had cancer. He's had family struggles, financial struggles, struggles in school, everything on top of being blind. But he doesn't let anything stop him. He doesn't stop. He keeps rolling. If the hardships happen, he takes them. He learns what he learns from them. And then he keeps on moving. I am not ashamed to admit, I've stopped. I've almost given up sometimes. Federico never gave up. And over the years, of all the people that I look in, look back in my mind, especially when I was at my worst a few years ago, emotionally, he's one of the people that I look to and I tried to emulate because he is a tank. He will never get beaten down. And honestly, that's what I hope for everyone. I hope everyone can take these challenges, learn what they can from them, and then just keep pushing forward. I try to do it every day of my life. It's not easy, but if it was easy, I wouldn't be having fun.
Well, you know, I can't wait for you to watch the replay of what you just said, because those are the characteristics that I see in you, Boo. You have overcome the loss of your sight. You're a skateboarder. You're a musician. You're healthy. You're a college student. You're handsome. You love. Look at that smile, okay? People pay big money for that smile, okay? So all of those things, I see another bulldozer. I see a crane. I see a heavy lifter right over here, right next to me. So I don't know how much further you need to look. Maybe you just need to walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror, because I see a star and it's shining bright. And don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give out and don't give in. Okay? It's not over till it's over. We are not in control. We are mere vehicles, vessels on this planet. There is already a predetermined destination for us. We just have to try to get there and try to be the best person we can possibly be in the process. And I love you from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just isn't deep enough. And you know that, okay? And you know, that smile is worth everything to me.
I gotta tell you, I've got two goals. You know, you talk about the journey and the predetermined destination and where we're going. And I have to tell you, I have two goals between now and the day I die. And I try to uphold them every day. And again, it gets hard, but I try my hardest to maintain it. My first goal is to have as much fun as I possibly can. My second goal is to make sure everyone around me does the same to the best of my ability.
Well, you are enabler, because I have fun just watching you. I love you, Coco Connor Head, or is it Connor Coco Head? Oh, so tell my Braves how to get in contact with you, how to follow you. You know, Braves, we wasn't planning on having this deep conversation, but you might as well get with it, because it's real. It's 110%, and that's how we show up here on the Edge. People just kind of pour their heart out. This is what it is, and hopefully, you know, you get some inspiration from it. And this was a release for Connor, and this was an education for me. I'm trying not to cry, okay? I'm trying to have on my big girl panties. I'm trying not to cry.
Okay? You're already even better than Mom. Mom cries at everything, and I love her.
I know. just noodles. So tell my Braves how to get in contact with you. If they want to be encouraged, if they want to be motivated, if they want to be a furry? A furry, right? Okay. I tell you, these kids, millennials, come on, get in contact with you.
All right. Well, I think the easiest way is oh my God, I got stuck in a smile. That's amazing.
I love it.
I think the easiest way is my Instagram. My Instagram is Blind Thrasher, capital B, capital T. It's all one word, just Blind Thrasher. You'll find me. And there is a link on there to my YouTube channel. And I think that's the best way to reach out. Honestly, I exist.
Well, go check him out, because he looks a whole lot different in that fursuit than he does here on the Edge with us. Thank you, baby, for being here with me, being open, being honest, being vulnerable, and allowing yourself to heal in front of many other people that are probably going through the same thing right now. I adore you.
I already feel about 100 pounds lighter from the moment I got on this call to now.
All right. Well, I adore you. And if I can do any more heavy lifting, you know, I carry you on my back.
I love you bunches. I love you a lot. You have an amazing energy. And the second this is all over, the second I can come out there, I'm giving you a hug, whether you like one or not.
Oh yeah, that'll be a kiss worth getting waiting for.
Honestly, I'm on it. On the way. It'll take a few months, but I'm on the way.
I know, this is ridiculous. But give me a virtual one. Just blow it out to me. Mwah.
Got you. Mwah.
I got it. Oh my goodness, that was a good one. All right, brains. Again, stay close to the edge. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. I got them for you. They're not all scripted and programmed and all that. What the hell? Who's going to benefit from that? That's just a bunch of recorded stuff. That's creative TV. This is real TV. This is real talk TV. Okay? So get with it. All right. I'll talk to you again real soon, Connor. I love you, boo.
I love you more.
All right. Bye.
Bye.